Well, if you haven't already, go ahead and get your Bibles. And is this thing working? I hope it's working. Get your Bibles, your phones, your iPads, whatever it is that you have a Bible on. And we're going to be looking at some passages tonight and talking about how awesome our God is. When is the last time, maybe in the past couple of days, maybe in the last week or so, maybe in the last year, whatever it is, when is the last time that we have actually gotten excited about God? When's the last time there's been a moment that we have seen something, witnessed something, been a part of something, we've heard something, whatever it is, that made us stop and just and actually say, wow, our God is awesome. Those moments when we are just in awe of who God is. When we are amazed by God, impressed by God. And it leads us to pray to God. Maybe it leads us to spend time and say, you know, instead of coming to God, just go to Him in prayer and say, God, You are awesome, and I love You, and I am just amazed by Your power. I mean, not even asking for a single thing. Just praying to God and saying, I am in awe of You. Because, ladies and gentlemen, we have an awesome God. Amen? Amen. He is awesome. And He deserves our praise and our reverence, our respect, our awe. And that's why we're here. We sing, we pray, we have His Word. We're giving reverence to Him. We should be. Of just telling God how much we love Him and how wonderful He is and how amazed we are by Him. Because God is awesome in two ways. He is awesome in power and He is awesome in love. That is who our God is. He is awesome in power and He is awesome in love. And that is what we see from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22. Is our God is an awesome God. And I think it's easy, it is for me, that we get kind of caught up in the busyness of life and we get used to making the same drives and trips we do. We get used to going to the same place and doing the same things and we just get used to our surroundings and the things of life. And sometimes I think it's easy for us to take God's awesomeness, His power and His love. I think it's easy to take it for granted sometimes. In the fact that maybe we sometimes don't think about it as much. Maybe we don't always have those feelings of, wow, God is awesome. And that's something that we've got to work on, but it's something that we need to find, to look around, to find the things. There are small things. There are big things. There are all sorts of things in this life that God has given us that He's put there to say, look at Me. Look how awesome I am. But we've got to be paying attention to see it, to hear it. Something as simple as... Well, it's not simple, but I mean, all we got to do is look around in creation. Is that not why we have creation? I mean, you could talk about, well, you know, God made this and this so we could live and survive and we could breathe and eat. But why did God create all of this? Why did God create us? Why is everything in the world the way it is? But simply to show the greatness of God. You know, because then you get to asking questions like, which I wonder sometimes. Don't you ever wonder in creation why God created certain things? You ever looked around and thought, now what in the world? What is this? Why did He do that? I mean, think about it. Rhinoceroses. Why did God make rhinos? Tell me, what does that ugly thing serve any purpose? But it's creation of God. Why did He make all these bugs? I mean, there's a billion, jillion bugs. And some of them, I don't even know what purpose they serve, just to bug us. But it shows the glory of God. And you know, there's so much, we're going to look at some tonight, but there's even so much beyond what we can even see, at least without help of instruments. Like in space, in the universe. I mean, we're limited by this ball we live in. When we look up, we see the blue sky, the clouds, the sun, the moon, but if you've done any studying and schooling at all, you know There's a vastness out there that we can't even imagine. There's those things. And there's things about being with one another and the love we share. You know, family, friends, brethren, whatever the case may be. Looking at each other. And you know, look, going back to God's creation, you know, we've been having a lot of babies around here. Can we really look at the development and birth of a child, of a baby, and not be amazed by God? It just blows me away. I can't comprehend it. And even as much as scientists and doctors and whoever it is, they can figure out about how things are made up and they do this and do that, they still don't know. You know, Brittany, we were talking about the sermon. She's not here tonight, unfortunately, and Josie's sick, but Brittany said that there's a song I think we led this morning, but it talks about how God, you know, holds the germ within His hand. You know, that germ that man don't know. Only God knows. He is awesome. And I tell you, one of the things that has gotten me recently in, you know, watching my kids grow up, and especially now that Josie's in that phase, is I think there is nothing, not much of anything more beautiful than hearing your children sing these songs. I mean, when you've got a little 2-year-old who is attempting to sing "Our God is an Awesome God," it's awesome. she, you know, a lot of it you can't understand, but then you start to hear she is starting to say some of those words. And Jesus loves me, and God made the big round sun, and God is so good. And then there's even just other songs that she has no idea what they're saying, and she gets so excited. We put a CD in, and she just starts clapping. And seeing a sweet, innocent little child like that singing and talking about God is just, it's awesome to me. And my boys, too, growing up, the prayers they give, the things we talk about. There are all kind of things that show us the awesomeness of God. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. Let's talk about God's awesome power. Talk about His awesome love. So that tonight we can just simply, we say it's a simple thing. You know, tonight is simply about being in awe of God. But is that really such a simple thing to do? See, we say it's simple, but is it really? But we're going to do our best. I want to talk about the power of God. The scriptures, it amazed me going back to creation, that how many times the writers in here, whether it's the Psalms, whether it's the New Testament, Old Testament, whatever the case may be, they talk about God's awesomeness and power in light of creation. You know, there's a little comic thing of the biblical message, so to speak. But I have a problem with it. Basically, the idea was, the point of it was to show how some people these days, you know, when they talk about Bible class, that, you know, people come to Bible class, but they never talk about the Bible. You know, they may talk about football and politics, and that's what this comic was saying was, oh, hey, guess what? We talked about football. Hey, we talked about politics. And, well, then there's one that's supposed to be sarcastic. Oh, yeah, oh, we talked about flowers. And then, of course, the last guy say, well, we talked about the Bible. But see, I've always had a problem with the one that was supposed to be a negative thing in talking about flowers in Bible class. Because is not flowers part of God's creation? So what would be wrong with spending time talking and learning and looking at flowers if we're going to look and see the awesomeness of God? You look at creation, look at the scriptures and how often, oops, now you're cheating. What happened to my thing? See, now you're getting ahead of me. Uh-oh, don't have it on there, somebody stole it. Well, the scriptures aren't on there, I guess something happened. But anyways, Genesis 1:1, we don't really have to turn there, do we? Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the heavens and the earth. Genesis 1:1, we can memorize it, kids memorize it, but do we take it for granted sometimes? Isn't it so easy to say, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, but what does that do to us? I mean, does it cause us to be in awe of God that He went on, you know, that God spoke and there was light, let there be light, and God spoke all these things into existence, just like, I mean, it just happened. And have you ever gone through that process of thinking what it would have looked like as God progressed this creation, little by little, and how He went about it and how awesome that was? That's awesome, our great and awesome Creator. Is that not what we just read a little bit ago in Psalm 8? If you look in Psalm 8 that was read just earlier before the lesson. In Psalm 8, David, what does he look at? And then begins his message. He says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Now, David could have taken that several different ways to talk about how excellent God is in the earth. But he says, how excellent you are in the earth. He says, you have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. Verse 3, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, when I look at the moon and I look at the stars which you have set in place, he asks an important question. What is man that you are mindful of him? What is man that you are mindful of him and the Son of Man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings, the angels, and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, sheep, oxen, beasts of the field, birds of the heavens, the fish of the sea, whatever is out there that passes along the paths of the sea. And to think that God has created all these great things, and who has He given dominion? Who has God basically put in charge of those things, or to have dominion over those things? Us. God's created all these things and says, okay, I'm going to give you the ability to master all of these things, to overpower these things. And so, verse 9, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. What about Psalm 19? Psalm 19, which was read at the beginning of our worship service. Psalm 19, first six verses. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaim his handiwork. Day to day pours out speech. Night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words whose voice is not heard. Their voice goes out through all the earth, their words to the end of the world. In them he has set a tent for the sun. Picture this in your mind. Here he starts talking about, you know, God's creation of the sun. You know, the sun he pictures as being in a tent. It's there, obviously, out of sight. Verse 5, which comes out like a bridegroom leaving its chamber and like a strong man, runs its course with joy. Runs its course around, as we see the light anyway. It comes, it goes. He says, verse 6, its rising is from the end of the heavens, its circuit to the end of them, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. David again says, when we look at the heavens, look at the sky, look at the sun, we see the glory of God. We see our awesome God. And again, when you look up there and you see the sun and the stars and the moon, when you see the clouds, when you see a sunset or a sunrise, it's awesome. When we look at those things, we've got to stop and think about these things. Again, these are things we see every day. You know, sun's up, sun's down. Moon comes, moon goes. Stars, sunset, sunrises, and usually, you know, same thing every day. But it's every day God's trying to tell us, look at me. Remember me. What about Psalm 33? Let's stick with the Psalms. Psalm 33. I think a lot of times the psalmist, especially David, say it best, a lot better than I could. Psalm 33, beginning in verse 6. In verse 6. By the word of the Lord the heavens were made, and by the breath of his mouth all their host. He gathers the waters of the sea as a heap, and he puts the deeps in the storehouses. How is it that the waters of the sea and the ocean don't cover? How is it that they just stop right there at the beaches? And how is it that there can be so much water in the deep that just doesn't cover the earth? God. God. He goes on to say, therefore, verse 8, let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world, notice this, stand in awe of him. For he spoke and it came to be. He commanded and it stood firm. That's our God. He spoke all these things into existence out of nothing. He holds it all together. We've got to be in awe of God. You know, Job was mentioned this morning in Everett's lesson, and going back to that, and, you know, Job, basically after all that goes on with him and all the questioning and thoughts he has and wondering about all this with God and basically wanting to talk to God and say, you know, how is this fair? What's going on? Well, God comes to him in chapters 38 and 41. And do you remember what God does? What God does with Job? If I'm not mistaken, those 38, 39, 40, 41, what's God going to do to say, Job, you need to realize who I am? I mean, God could have talked about his righteousness. God could have talked about anything. But he talked about his creation. He goes to Job and says, Job, who created these things, you or me? Do you know how all these things work? Do you know about the stars? Do you know about the rain, the snow, the wind, the sea? Do you know about the goats? Do you know about horses, sea creatures? But what do you know, Job? And of course, Job didn't know nothing. God was saying, look at me. You need to know who I am and how awesome I am. And it did. Job was put back in his place. And God was revered in his. In Psalm 147 in verse 4, one of those fun facts and awesome facts about God. Psalm 147 in verse 4 tells us that God knows every single star. And we can't even count them. But God knows how many there are. And not only does he know how many there are, he has a name for every single one of them. I have a hard enough time picking a name for my own kids. God has a name for every single star. And then another fun one in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 30. That God knows every single hair that is on our head. Every single one. Our God is an awesome God. I want to share something with you tonight because me, and I want to focus on God's creation tonight because I personally really am just in awe of God's creation, and I enjoy watching those shows on TV, whether it's, you know, National Geographic or Discovery or whatever, whether it's animals or, you know, the ocean, space, plants, whatever. Because it's fascinating how things, I mean, I just don't understand it. And one of my favorite ones, and I'm a very visual person, and I hope that it helps us tonight, because I think sometimes it's easy for us to talk about a lot of things, even read from Scripture, but sometimes we just need to see it to really put things into perspective. And one of them that blows me away, and I found this presentation a while back, and when I looked through it, it takes my breath away, like, whoa. You know, that kind of puts things into perspective a little bit. You know, I don't often feel small, but this makes me feel small. And I think it puts things in perspective of God's creation. I want to share with you tonight. Of course, we live, and I'm missing some slides, but we live on the ball called Earth. Now, this is, you have the Earth on one end, the Moon on the other, and you have all the planets in our solar system in between. That's how far the Moon and the Earth are from each other. I mean, it looks like it's right there, like we could just catch it. But it's actually 238,000 miles apart. This little smudge that you see up there, I think you can see it, That's the North America on the planet Jupiter. I mean, it's nothing. Jupiter is so much bigger than Earth, of course. Some other ones we have here, this is Saturn, and how big the ring of Saturn is, you can fit six Earths on just the ring of Saturn. That's how big it is. You have some others. This is an asteroid compared to the city of Los Angeles. No wonder there are so many terrifying movies out there of asteroids and all this stuff, because that's pretty scary. This is the sun compared to Earth. And Earth, that little blue dot down there. And that's our sun. And that's why we're not close to it. And the same one, uh-oh. Well, this is fun. Talk about stressing a point. There we go. Stars. It is estimated that there are more stars than there is sand on the seashore. Now, I don't know if anybody's really taking the time to attempt that. This is our galaxy. The Milky Way, and we're only in that little part of it. We then have some more here. That little circle, I don't know if you can see a little yellow circle, that's all the part, we only see part of the stars, and look how much more there is in the whole entire thing. I mean, we, in a manner of speaking, we are so insignificant in the grand scheme of creation. I mean, we look up at the moon there in this picture, and this little zoomed-in green box, when we look out in the sky and we just kind of see all these, twinkles and things, they're not all stars, but actually galaxies. And again, stressing a point, I don't know what happened. That's Earth. This little ball, and I'm missing some pictures on there, but that's okay. You get the idea. That little blue thing is what we live on. And you look at so many of these pictures, and it brings me to just say, God is awesome. I heard one guy give a presentation on these planets and talk about, man keeps discovering this thing out there, one thing after another. And it's like, why are those things out there? Well, again, I think it's just God saying, you want to see my glory? And it's kind of like, he keeps saying, okay, I've got more. We keep finding stuff. Okay, God says, all right, I got more. Because he's awesome. He is awesome in power, and he has always shown that he is Lord God Almighty over his creation. You look through the Old Testament, and the main message really was that I am the Lord God Almighty, the great I am. And 90% of the time, how God showed that was his control of creation. When Jesus was on this earth, when he did all those miracles, when he walked on the water, when he calmed the storm, he showed that he was the Son of God, in charge of, by the power of God, creation. He's our awesome God. God is truly awesome in power. And we need to take the time to stop and to think about these things. And I know it can sound so simple that I'm afraid sometimes when we get to talking about earth and creation and flowers and planets, we kind of have labeled that as the fluff, right? That's kind of the fluffy feel-good stuff that we don't really preach on or talk about, because we know all that stuff. But my folks, that's not fluff. That's the awesomeness of God. And let's not take it for granted. But let's use it to praise God and to give him glory. But not only is he great and awesome in power, but even greater and more awesome, if I can say, is his love. Our God is an awesome God. And beyond creation, what we see, even greater than that, is the amazing, wonderful love that we truly can't even understand. We read passages, John 3:16, how often have we heard that? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. God so loved the world. Can we fathom that? I mean, John 3:16 has become such a common thing. We can quote it. We know it. We've heard it 1,000 times. So the question is, has it lost its power to us? Has it lost its oomph when we read it? Romans 5 and in verse 6, that God has shown us His love, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. The Son of God came to this earth, the Creator now, that through Jesus all things have been created, through Jesus all things sustain. He holds all things together with His hands. He came to earth. The Creator came to His creation, became like His creation, and allowed His creation to hate Him, to reject Him, and to kill Him. Now, how's that for love? Ephesians 2, another one that we read, Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 1, when Paul is making the point that we're not worthy of anything. Because we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we walked following the course of this world, we're following the prince of the power of the air, following Satan, the spirit that is now working, the sons of disobedience, among whom we walked and we lived in passions of our flesh, carrying out desires of the body and of the mind, by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. Not only, if you look at it this way, in God's creation, not only are we the weakest thing in the universe, but spiritually speaking, we're also the weakest thing there is. We have sinned. But, Paul goes on to say, by the grace of God, He's rich in mercy because of the great love in which He loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, He made us alive together with Christ. By grace we have been saved, and He has raised us up with Him, seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages He might show the immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Jesus Christ. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has two great creations. One, His great creation has been the physical us. The awesome power of God, and He created us. He created the universe, everything there is in existence. But the greatest creation of God is His creation of us in Christ Jesus, and saving us from our sins, giving His Son. And to borrow the word of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 15, it's inexpressible. It's indescribable. It's amazing. It's awesome. Our God is an awesome God. He is awesome in love. And so when we look at the cross and we take of the Lord's Supper every Sunday, don't ever let it lose its power in our eyes. Don't ever let it lose its awesomeness. Now, our responsibility is to keep stirring our hearts, to not let ourselves become content or apathetic, not feeling anything. Let us be in awe of God. Our God is awesome, there is no doubt. And He deserves all our praise, all our love, our thanks. And that's why we're here today, is we're here to worship God, to praise Him. But it should also be every day of our lives. Again, go to God in prayer. Sing, you know, it's okay to sing songs outside of this building. Sing a song with God. Spend time in God's Word. seeing the awesomeness of God. That's what we're supposed to do. Because He is our God. And so when we look at the power of God and we look at His love, He deserves all our praise, as we said. And I want to, tonight, as we finish, I want you to turn in your regular song books, the big book, to number 5. To number 5. We've talked about it. We've talked about how great God is. Talked about His awesome power, His awesome love. Well, why not sing it? Why can't we sing about it now? And I love this song. How great thou art. And that's exactly what this song is about. This song is about first looking at God's creation and saying, God, how great you are. Then it's talking about His love through Jesus and how great He is. And that's everything. As we've talked about, His power in creation, His love through Jesus. And so what better song to sing than this? And what I want to do, which I tried this a while back and totally messed it up, but I think we got it right this time on the thing, is I want to sing the first two verses and then the chorus, and the last two verses and then the chorus. So we're only going to sing the chorus after the second and fourth verse, which if you follow the thing up there, you should, it'll be fine. But, and the only reason I do that is because the first two verses are talking about God's creation. The last two verses are talking about God's love. And so I just like to couple those together when I can. And so anyways, we'll sing this song together. Our God, how great thou art. Oh Lord, my hands have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. When through the woods and forest glades I wander, and hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God His Son not sparing sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross He gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. When Christ shall come with shout of acclamation and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art.
Psalm 148. Thank you for singing that with me. Just really makes me feel good. Psalm 148. Some of this was read, I believe, this morning. It says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him in the heights. Praise Him, all His angels. And praise Him, all His hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you host of heavens, you highest heavens, you waters above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord. For He commanded and they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He gave a decree and it will not pass away. Praise the Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and mist, stormy wind fulfilling His word. Mountains and all hills, fruit trees and all cedars, beasts and all livestock, creeping things and flying birds. Praise the Lord. Kings of the earth and all peoples, princes and all rulers of the earth, young men, maidens together, old men, children. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the earth and heaven. He raised up a horn for His people. Praise for all His saints, for the people of Israel who are near Him. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. The psalmist covers everything from the heavens to the seas to the earth to the highest of men to the lowest of men. Everything there is, praise God, because God is awesome. Would you go with me in prayer to God and let's thank Him and praise Him? We've done it in song, done it in His Word, and now let's do it in prayer. Pray with me. Our great and awesome Holy God, God Almighty, Lord of heaven and earth, the great I Am, dear God, it is a very humbling thing. It is amazing to think that we can even talk to You right now. To even know that You hear us, You listen. It is amazing to know that we are so insignificant, physically speaking, in Your creation. Yet You love us beyond measure. And dear God, we thank You for that love. We thank You for Your power. Dear God, we just want to tell You that You are awesome and wonderful. And don't even know how we can express how much we love You and how much we are in awe of You. We pray that our words are sufficient. We know that our hearts pour forth Your praise and that You hear and that You know. And that it is a pleasing aroma to You. And dear God, we just pray that as we continue through this life, that as You hold our breath, as You give us every day, however many You see fit, we pray that You will continue to help us realize Your glory, to see it, to feel it, and to share it, to show others how awesome You are, what an awesome God we serve, and to point others to You and to show how awesome You are in power and how awesome You are in love. And dear God, we thank You, we love You, we praise You, and we cannot wait till the day that we can finally be in Your awesome presence. And it's in Jesus, our Savior, we pray. Amen. Go ahead and open your songbooks to the number selected tonight. I just want to, as we have an invitation, just to go back to Psalm 8 and see what David said. You know, David, again, if you remember what he said in Psalm 8, is when we look at what God's done, He's created, we think about God, how in the world could He be mindful of me? Especially when I've sinned against Him.
As David said, when I look at the works of your hands and all that you've done, what is man that you are mindful of him? And we could also add to that, when I look at your holiness and how righteous you are and how pure you are, what is man that you are mindful of him? But you know, that's the awesome God we serve. Is even though we don't deserve it, and even though we're really not much to think about, God thinks everything of us. God loves us so much. And he has shown that through his Son, shown that through Jesus. And so tonight, if there's somebody, maybe you've not come to God and given your life to him, I want you tonight to see how awesome our God is. That he is willing to forgive, he is willing to save, he sent Jesus. And I want all my brothers and sisters to see how awesome our God is too. And to know that God's never going to give up on you. He ain't going to give up on me. He loves us. If we will come to him, trust him, lean on him, serve him, then we know we will be okay. Because nothing, as Paul says, can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. Won't you come to our awesome God tonight as we stand and as we sing?